away we go. It's a Getaway Friday here, Friday, August the 19th, 2022. 14 minutes past the hour, you are tuned into the Pastor Spot, a weekly radio ministry of Community Christian Fellowship, a show that can be heard every Friday morning, 9, 10 to 10 a.m. live here, and replayed on Sunday morning from 8, 10 until 9 a.m., and then on Wednesday and Thursday from 3, 10 until 4 p.m. Also, don't forget the Community Christian Fellowship Sunday service. This week moves to Sunday night, 7:10 till 8 p.m., and that will also now repeat on Wednesday and Thursday, 4:10 until 5 p.m., so don't miss those broadcasts. In studio, we have the host of this show, Pastor Steve Whitaker. Pastor, how are you?
Good morning, Scott. It's good to have you back. Good to see you.
Yeah, first time since the last week of February we've gotten to do this.
Yeah, been a while. Also have hiding over here in a corner, we've got Frank. Morning, Frank.
Good morning.
Frank, if you have to going to talk, you need that mic.
Good morning, everyone.
Anyway, also I want to remind everyone that you can download this free on a TuneIn app, WWGH. So you can tune in and download that. And sometimes if you're in a place where the radio is not coming in clear, you can tune in and it'll be clear as a bell on the app. So, of course, you also can go to the archives if you go to WWGH. All the shows are listed. We're actually the first group of shows after the introduction on the archive page. So look forward to talking to you today. What a blessed, beautiful day it is out. And like I like to say, this is a day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Because we never know how many more of these days we're going to have, do we?
Absolutely.
And or us personally. Scott, how have you been?
You know, I've been really good. The last treatment I had was on June the 16th, and everything looks good. I don't even have to go back for a checkup until October. So it was really, it's been a good experience. Good ending to an interesting year.
Well, great. I know a lot of prayers have gone out for you. And
I appreciate that.
And speaking of prayers, you know, I believe in the power of prayer. I know that many of you do. And the number here is 740-383-9944. If you need to call in with a prayer request, I would be glad to take it. You can also leave that on this Facebook Live that I'm doing if you want to, if you're on Facebook and you want to send a prayer request. You know something we're going to do, Scott, that's pretty neat. And once again, Pastor's dragging his feet. Actually, I was really sick a week ago, and we talked about doing this. I'm taking a mailbox and putting it on the side of the church with it's going to have a padlock on the clasp, and it's just going to say right on the side of it, prayer requests, and have a slit to put them in, so people in the community can drop them in there. And I want to assure them that the reason that I'm putting the lock on it is so that they come directly to me, and other people don't, you know. And people can be as personal or impersonal as they want, but just so people have an outlet that maybe they don't want to talk to someone, but they still like prayer for something, and they can just drop in that box and something once again to work the community. Some things we've got coming up in the very near future, beginning on Sunday evenings, the 1st of September, we have a group that's going to meet. Frank's going to be part of that, and also a lady by the name of Karen, and they're going to be, it's going to be the second time around group. We're getting the flyers made now, and what it's for is for parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles, anyone that is raising children for the second time. In other words, there's a lot of grandparents raising kids, and this is a support group, so it's not a it's not a lecture type thing. It's something where people can come together and talk about, you know, talk about the issues of raising kids and have a time of encouragement and hopefully a time to help them do that. And then we're also doing a divorce recovery group, people that are recovering from that awful, you know, divorce can be tough. I'll just put it that way. There's more aspects to it. The collateral damage can go way beyond what we just think is the couple. You know what I mean? So, you know, that's going to go on. And just some neat stuff like that. So we got a lot going on. The first weekend in October, I believe it's the second is the date, if I'm not mistaken, will be our day in the park. And that's the day we're going to have live music. We actually have a bluegrass band coming in that's going to do some music and do other stuff.
Who doesn't like bluegrass?
You know, there's not many people that don't. I think it covers all generations, and a lot of people that like a lot of different genres of music still like bluegrass. Mm-hmm. But we'll have that, and then we always have a whole lot of food. We've got bounce houses. We've got two really nice bounce houses scheduled for this year for the kids. And, of course, we always have the hayride. And
make sure you stay out of them.
I'll stay out of the bounce houses. Yeah. So that's something coming up. And then, again, we've got Team Kids starting up this fall, which we do every other week, I believe. Or are we on the we're on the every other week schedule, and where the kids come and they have a ball, and it's in the evening, 6:30 in the evening. I think that it's on Tuesdays. I haven't got this year's schedule, so I don't want to set anything in stone on that. But it's a great time. Kids have fun. They're an hour and a half where mom and dad can go, and if they want to shop, do whatever for those 2 hours, just get a break from the kids. Mm-hmm. You know, we'll take good care of them. So those are just some fun things. And then lest I forget, this morning, every Friday morning, and I'm not sure how far we're going to the fall with it, but we do free coffee in front of the church, coffee and pastries. A lady named Eva always supplies us with wonderful pastries, and we have iced coffee and hot coffee and good conversation, and it really draws a good crowd. It really does, and it's kind of a nice thing in the morning. So as you can see, there's a lot going on. I do want to mention the change in the programming for our message, though, on Sunday. That has been at 12:15 on Sunday morning, and that is now going to be on Sunday from 8:15 to, that's the repeat, excuse me. Where are we at here, Scott?
The 7:10 at night will be the message. Yeah.
It'll be Sunday night at 7:10 in the evening to 8. So if you're not doing any at that time, you're waiting on the 8 o'clock hour for your better shows to come on TV. listen to the church message prior to that. And anyway, look forward to all of you guys listening and being part of the show and being part of what we do.
And I do want to mention that what we are broadcasting right now, video-wise, there's the picture on the WWGH Facebook page.
Yeah, I see it over there.
Not too bad, is it?
Frank, I like your suit coat.
There you go.
Thank you. Thank you.
Have to dress for radio
we're on
now.
TV.
Oh, I know.
You got to dress for radio. See, you didn't even know that, did you?
No.
No, Frank, you guys, usually this is a guy in a three-piece suit, so anyway, I'm joking. Great day today.
Boy, I look good, don't I?
That's a good picture, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
I heard some good news this morning that although we've seen these COVID numbers up a little bit, hospitalizations are almost nil.
I like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it seems to be working pretty well. I think the thing has mutated enough now that it's getting a little less hard. But you know, it still has some weird effects to it. But, you know, in this whole thing, there's something I think that we can learn in general, and that is just to be courteous to everyone. I had a lady come up to me and make a very derogatory comment about people that weren't vaccinated. And I said, you know, I said, that's kind of a personal choice with them. And I said, you know, can you still get it? Well, yeah. I said, so they're hurting themselves, right? Yeah, well, then don't worry about it.
Well, that's it. You know, why is it we have to police everybody? I think do what's best for you, make your own decision, and don't let other people do what they have to do.
Yeah, I think, Scott, you know, by the time you're probably 60 years old, you're going to be a strong right-wing constitutionalist. But, you know, and I'll tell you what does that. The more we're exposed to the government, the more we realize they have gotten way too intrusive in our lives. You know, I've shared this before. I'll share it again, that it just really blew me away. I was talking to some young people. I do a thing called Pizza with a Pastor twice a month. And myself and a couple other fellows, we invite kids from middle school all the way through high school to come, and they come from a few different school districts, actually, and we feed them pizza. I think the rotation is usually Donato's, and then the next time is probably Hungry Howie's, based on who's buying it. But we feed them pizza, and it's a discussion time. We talk about so many subjects. We even do some movies, some videos, different things. But I was talking to them one night, and I said, I want to ask you guys a question. I said, what percentage would you say that the government has a right to tell you what you have to do, where you have to obey what they say, you know, in your life? And I said, I said, from 0 to 100%, where? And I was shocked. Because these kids, I think the lowest one that I got was like 40%. Most of them were up around 60, 70. One kid even said, I don't know, probably about 80% of your life. And I said, you're all wrong. It's zero. Our government has zero right to control your life. And it kind of tells you how they've been kind of conditioned in our environment in the last 20 or 30 years to believe that. And quite frankly, that's right where the government wants you to be. They want you to, you know, they want that control. And one thing that bothers me, you know, we've talked, how many times, Scott, have we talked about absolute control and absolute power always absolutely corrupts? And it does. And the problem is the more that power that we give government, the more they're going to want to feed their egos and their pockets on the top. And we see that they do. You know, kind of like with you know, the healthcare mandate. The healthcare mandate, I'm not here to weigh the merits of that one way or the other, but I found it very interesting that Congress was exempted from it. Interesting, wasn't it? And you know, they do so much of that stuff. And, you know, they're there to serve us. And we've forgotten that. And I think that a guy said something very interesting to me this morning at coffee. He said, I think the more that people are seeing the true colors of the power in our country and the things that are going on, the more people are stepping up and saying, not me. We're not going to do this. But I really wish that people had the power in their power is the wrong word. I wish that people had the strength to stand up and do things. One thing that bothers me is, and I think Scott, you've been in media for a long time. It is so many people just listen to what they've been told, and then that's what they go with. And I've always been a person that says, wait a minute. I think I'll investigate that for myself. And nobody investigates anymore. They just take it and go. And I think that we owe it to ourselves and we owe it to our children and our country to investigate what goes on. And I'm not saying dig for conspiracies. You know, when I say investigate, that's not what I mean. But when we're told something, say, wait a minute, let me see if this is really for me. It's kind of like when the doctor prescribes a drug to you. I never take anything that I don't research the side effects and what can go on with it, because that's an important thing to know. You know, sometimes doctors miss things. We have a great pharmacist over in Prospect, and he's really good about that. You'll give him a prescription, and he'll say, oh, wait a minute here. And he'll look at you, because he has a list of your other ones, and he'll catch it. And sometimes, you know, but in our lives, we don't do that, and it's kind of, you know, that's one of the problems we have with the church today. Not a problem with the church, a problem with society. And, of course, anytime you are part of something, we are all a part of the problem in anything that we do, because none of us are perfect. Does that make sense?
Well, it's interesting you bring that up, because it was one of the bigger pharmacies actually here in town, one of the commercial pharmacies. But I recently took my mother. She just needed to pick up a prescription. We were out doing something, and I guess it was a new prescription. So we pulled up to the window there, and I guess it was probably just the tech was getting the prescription for her. And she said, hold on a second. And then the pharmacist came over and said, oh, you're allergic to such and such, and that's in this medicine. You know that, right? You know, so she knew, and she did know, that she'd already talked it over with her doctor, that the low dose would probably not do anything, and if it did, call somebody. But the pharmacist was right on top of that, and I think that's very impressive.
My doctor actually has an in-house pharmacist now that you can actually make an appointment with. which is great. They review everything you have. Mm-hmm. But, you know, what I was saying is, you know, even when, you know, we don't want to investigate things, we're so overwhelmed and burdened and weighted down with everything that we just say, give me the goods and I'll take it. And we don't stop to investigate so many things. You know, you hear a great deal on a mortgage and you're going to get this much money back and you can get this and get, and then you go do it, and after you do it you realize, wow, I just got strapped to something I shouldn't have got strapped to. And we want relief, we want belief, and we want things just the point is, we have personal responsibility. If you want your life to be okay, exercise your personal responsibility. Either that, don't blame other people. And I even look at that when it comes to the Word of God. You know, I know what we preach and what we teach, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that the Bible is God's Word, and that Jesus Christ came to this earth. He died to rescue us from sin and take that sin debt on himself as only he could. And, you know, the thing is, a lot of people just bob through life. Why not at least investigate it? Why not at least say, you know what, I don't know that I buy all that, or I only believe this and I only believe that, but you know what, I'm really going to look at it. And you know, it amazes me that, obviously being a pastor, and of course Frank's been through seminary also, as through school and Bible school, you become a student of the Word. And to me, in the true sense, a student of the Word is, if you believe the Word of God, you also are a student of God.
Yes.
And but you're a student of the Word, and you know the Word, and the Bible is one area that people will say such blanket statements about it that, first of all, I think, I know where you heard that, and second, because it usually comes from either a movie, TV, or something. And the next thing I think is, you've never stopped to investigate any of this, but yet they'll tell me as a pastor, well, I believe that the Bible, and they just sit back and think, not that I'm some brilliant person, but I'm thinking, you know, the Bible is a pretty heavy thing, and, it's a pretty weighty thing, and it's been a mm-hmm. huge part of the world and part of our society. And I think that we owe it to ourselves to see if these things be true or not. And you can do that. The book, The Case for Christ, is a prime example. You know, he proved out, nope. He set out to prove, you know, as an investigative attorney, he mm-hmm. set out to prove that the Bible wasn't true. Mm-hmm. Because he just wanted to prove to his wife, I believe it. I don't know if it was his wife or his girlfriend at the time.
I think it was his girlfriend.
Girlfriend that, mm-hmm. you know, she had come to the faith, and he said, I'm going to show you how silly this is. And through his whole thing, he came to believe the Word of God as the Word of God, because he said there's just no way this cannot be true. Mm-hmm. So my point is, that's his investigation. What's your investigation? But we live in a society where we just stumble along. And we stumble along, and then all of a sudden we come to the end of life, and we're like, uh-oh, now what do I do? I don't, Scott, the amount of people that have told me at end of life, I really felt like I was put here for a purpose, but I never slowed down long enough to think of what it might be. And that's sad, because we are all put here for a purpose. And my purpose is not your purpose, and yours isn't mine. But if we believe that God designed us and made us individually for a purpose, obviously, the wise thing to do would be attempt to seek that out. And you can be someone that doesn't believe at all, but you got to go through with an open mind. If I investigate something with a skewed, that's the hard part too, is to go in with a mind that says, look, I'm going to investigate this, and I'm going to go wherever the chips fall. Because many times we investigate something, we go in looking at it as an absolute truth or an absolute not. One of the statements that I think is very interesting that's being said a lot today is that there is no absolute truth. There's no absolute, nothing is absolutely true. And the truth, the problem with that is that statement is an absolute truth. So they're believing in absolute truth to even say that. But to, you know, the Bible, we believe, is an absolute truth. And I think that people have to go in and look at that with... the first thing is, some people say, well, you've been brought up in church, so you're going to go into it looking like it's this, and you've been taught this. I have to tell people, the Word of God, the Bible, is so complex and so huge and so never-ending in its teaching that you can, if you have not delved into it in a deep manner, you could have been raised in church all you want, and you have not scratched the surface. So you're not going in with this skewed thing. It really does. One thing about the Bible that's really neat is it throws a lot of questions. And you have to know what's said in other passages. You have to know what's said before and after. I used an example a couple months ago that someone had said to me, well, you certainly don't believe this is true in the Bible. And the direction that they were coming from was an opinion they had of a verse that was taken by itself and out of context. Well, yes, I did believe it was true, but you forgot to read this part of it. That,
well, you know something interesting? There's only one Bible question I have ever asked anybody of any faith, because everybody always asks the big ones and the controversial ones, and frankly, you know, whatever you believe, you believe. Mm-hmm. But the one I ask, because I'm truly curious, the story of Noah's Ark. Mm-hmm. My question just simply is, do you see that? And no answer is wrong to me. I'm not looking for a wrong answer. I just always ask people, now, do you believe that was written as an actual thing that happened or a figurative thing that happened? Mm-hmm. That's the only question I ever ask.
Interesting. Scott, have you ever taken the time, and I would suggest you do it if you haven't, and I don't care if you don't believe one iota of it, I would suggest that you go down to right over the border into Kentucky and go to the Ark Encounter. Mm-hmm. Wow. The years and years and years of study and mathematics and archaeologists and historians that went into putting that together. It is truly, truly amazing. And yes, I do believe it was an actual fact. Mm-hmm. And what's really interesting is that, and this is what's sad in our society, this, once again, absolute power absolutely corrupts. Our science departments in this country and at universities have gotten absolute power. If you are a creationist, good luck getting a grant, good luck getting a fellowship. You're not getting anything. You are literally blackballed. And the problem is, there are scientists and archaeologists that are excellent in their field that are creationists. And I always tell people to get the free... Order the free magazine. It's called Acts and Facts. It's put out by the Creation Research Council. They'll send
you know, one interesting fact. U.S. Navy, they have a ship. Its classification is an LST. And it's like a big floating... I mean, it's a man of war, but it's for transport. And the LST, the design of it, was based on the dimensions of the Ark that's relayed in the Bible. I just find that's fascinating that, you know, even if somebody doesn't believe the fact that, you know, this resulted from God giving Moses giving the dimensions at that time, but to be able to build a structure that floated and worked.
Yeah, for those writings to be that old. And have that, yep. You know, that's only part of the amazing thing. But you know what's interesting is that today, when you look at what's happened in our geological formations in the Earth, more and more even secular scientists are coming back and scratching their heads, because if you look at the biblical example of an upheaval from the bottom and mm-hmm. a flood from the top, so much of the archaeological things we see is strata and whatnot can be explained by that far better than any other thing, and can be explained by hydraulic pressure and compression. Mm-hmm. It aligns with what the Ark said happened, why they find fish fossils on the top of our highest peaks and mountains and things to that. You know, there wasn't just earthquakes here or there. you know, at some point there was that catastrophic upheaval, and it couldn't have been just an ice age. But these questions come up, and once again, there are things that we need to look at and study and say, wait a minute. But I would suggest, Scott, it's very inexpensive to go there, and it's a wonderful tour. Give yourself about at least 4 hours to go through it. If nothing else, it is an amazing experience because they have in unbelievable detail, they have taken animals and animated animals and made them, and they look so, and even people. I remember I was fascinated in one of the areas you walk through the Ark, and there were some young ladies kneeling at a table with their feet back, with the bottoms of their feet faced up because they were on their knees, and they were interacting or whatever, and I'm just looking and I'm staring, and if that didn't look like somebody's feet that I could just reach out and feel, but they've done that with everything in the Ark, and you go through different areas, and it actually shows how the Ark would have sustained itself in that period of time, and how the food sources would have lasted, mm-hmm. and how the animals would have fit. It's incredible mathematics, but and it's so massive. The Ark is so massive, and they built it to the specs of the Bible. And what's really cool is just, you can walk out the other end and say, I don't believe a thing of this. But just to see, that is really cool. And, you know, it does spark those questions. We're finding so many things. Scientists are now saying that the archaeological evidence and the physical evidence of the Earth is starting to show a much younger Earth. And they're scratching their heads on a lot of these things because how can the Earth, one of them is the amount of gravitation that we lose every year in the Earth. Mm-hmm. If the Earth was any older than 10,000 years, the gravitation would have been almost gone based on how much we lose every year. And they're looking at things like this and they're saying, yeah, we're going to scratch our heads about this, but we're not going to be too vocal about it because being too vocal goes against what we already have. I remember at a time when secular scientists said that the problem they had when they discovered DNA and how it worked, it totally went completely against everything we believe in evolution and, you know, how things could have evolved because of staying within a species. Well, DNA has not only been proven, but has really been widespread study now. But they still don't come off of well, it still did this. Well, no, show me that it did it, and show me the proof that it did it. When DNA shows that we can't evolve, we can't change outside of our species, don't tell me that I was once a fish and now I'm a man. You know, it doesn't hold water. You know, as close as the ape world is to people, there are people and they're apes and they're different. Dogs have always been dogs. And they can never show that jump or that separation. They've never shown it. Something real interesting, Scott. You may remember back in school, we had the picture of where they showed the little thing that looked kind of like a dog, and it evolved into a horse. Remember that? That
graph? I remember that.
Do you know it's gone?
Oh, is it?
They took it away. It was proven that there's no way it could have done that, and they found so many false things about it. You can't find that anymore. Now they have one that's very similar, but in the end, if I'm not mistaken, it's a camel. But they took that one's completely out of the books now because, well, we found that couldn't happen. But did they tell you that could? No, they don't say anything. They just took it out. And the point is that, look, believe what you want to believe, but give yourself the opportunity to know the truth. See, if what I believe is true, then I'm okay with God, and it's going to be fine when I'm gone. But someone that doesn't believe isn't. Okay? But if I'm wrong, I guess it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. To me, it doesn't matter to you. But if I'm right, and someone rejects God, then what's the Bible say? They're eternally separated from God. And the consequence, you know, people talk about, and this is another thing where I don't think people ever really study the Word of God, because they'll say, well, if I go to hell, I'm going to be with all my buddies. Well, you've heard that one before. We're going to be playing cards and getting drunk and doing this. Anyway, first of all, anybody that knows Scripture knows that is eternal separation from God and other people. You're alone in darkness. And so, you know, that's not going to happen. we have so many people that have, I mean, there's a lot of doctors and scientists now that believe there's something beyond here that are secular because of what they've seen in people that have so many people when they have a death experience or flatline, and they compare these people across the world, and they're having a very similar experience that didn't come from TV and it didn't come from books, and they're starting to scratch their heads and wonder what really is going on. And so I think that we truly, truly owe it to ourselves to just take the time and research those things. I believe that, and I know that I see what God does in so many lives. And I've seen so many people's lives that were really in bad shape that have been completely transformed. Now, some people, a naysayer would say, well, you could do anything and do that. You could have any habit and do that. You know, it's really interesting when you talk to people in opiate recovery, as far as people that work in that area, or any drug recovery, alcohol recovery, the ones that work the best are all faith-based. Not I can do it, not build yourself up. They're faith-based. They're giving that trust to God. Those are the ones that work, and they always do. And so why is that? And, you know, we owe it to ourselves to look at that. Why is it when we had a country, when there was a church on every corner in town, and most people were exposed to those, dare I say, Judeo-Christian values of right and wrong and how you treat each other and those things, that quite frankly, our country was brought together on those values. Please, I'm not saying we were perfect, because somebody's going to say, but what about? But you know, the thing is, Scott, you know, why is it when we lived and we had a society that was so... that was so ingrained in part of it, we didn't have people killing each other. And well, we didn't have the drug epidemic, and we didn't have all those things. We had some, but not like today.
It's interesting to me, because when I was going through this little episode this year, I made a statement to people, because people never really know what your belief is or your faith is. Mm-hmm. And when you're not feeling well, they do want to do something for you, and a lot of times it is praying for you. But people are a little tentative about that in a way, if they don't know what your belief is. And I always said the statement, and I think some people took it in the wrong way. My statement was, I want to believe that there is something, but if there's not, I'll never know the difference. But that is not a negative. That's not me saying I don't believe in anything. That's, matter of fact, me saying that I do. I'm just telling you, whatever your belief is, that, you know, why would you tend? See, here's my problem. If you have one scenario where you go on and it's happiness and it's a great place and it gets you through life and people do nice things for you, like pray for you when you're not feeling well, that's one. And the other scenario is just nothing. Now, yeah, why would you choose that scenario even if it wasn't true? What would that do for you?
Nothing. Absolutely nothing. And, you know, the thing is, when I pray for someone, like if I'm going to pray for, and I tell people I'm going to pray for them, and I never think ahead of time how they're going to feel about that, because how you feel about me praying for you has no bearing on me praying for you.
Exactly.
Because I do it for you, and I pray to God for you. I'm asking God to help you. I'm not asking you to... one way or the other. I am just saying I'm praying for you. You know, one thing I do that some people could think is very intrusive, and I've done it for a long time. I actually started this back, oh my word, 20 years ago, when I was in a class and we were studying a book called Irresistible Evangelism. Now, we all know what evangelism is. That's where we go out and we evangelize the word and we preach the gospel. Well, irresistible evangelism takes it to a different place. And what it does is, Steve Sobrin wrote the book, and he was part of the original Vineyard in California. Mm-hmm. And then he grew the big one in Cincinnati, which there's some funny stories about that I could get into. One of which, one of the ladies in the church was arrested by the city of Cincinnati. It made national news because she was walking around town feeding parking meters.
Yeah.
And she didn't want people to get tickets. Well, the city was saying, wait a minute, you're cutting into our income. And she said, I'm just being kind to people. And she came out of that church. But that is an example of irresistible evangelism. And what that is where you do things to show people the love of Christ and tell them about God. You don't just tell them about God without action behind it.
You know, and I don't know if I've told this story since I've been back, because it happened while I was gone, and I'll make it quick, but this is and I have no reason to make this story up, and it wasn't like one of those I was laying in bed stories. It was a Sunday afternoon. It was it was in May, Sunday afternoon in May, and I was in my bathroom at home cleaning it. Mm-hmm. Sunny day, bright as could be, middle of the afternoon, I was alone in the house, and I heard plain as day somebody say my name. And the door was open, the front door, and I wasn't too far from it, so I thought somebody was at the door. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was that loud and that clear, and it was just my name. And I walked down in there, and not a soul at the door, nobody near the door, nobody in the house, and I just thought, well, maybe I'm hearing things. Okay, so the day went on, and it was later in the night, maybe 9, 10 o'clock that night, same day, I get a call that a relative that I had been fairly close with was being put on hospice. They were not doing very well.
Right.
So that whole moment of them getting ill would have taken some point during that day, taking place some point during that day. And I just thought, what a strange coincidence. Because this person was not, nobody knew that was going to happen that day. They did not have a terminal illness. It wasn't like that. They were just older and, you know, got to a point where that happened. And I thought, and later on I thought, of all days, because it hasn't happened since and it hadn't happened before, what a weird. And I'm not saying it was their voice, because I don't remember it being their voice, but what a strange thing to have happened that day.
Don't forget it.
Yeah, oh no, I'll never forget that story.
It's funny, I know thousands of people, obviously, because I'm a people person. I've been out there, I've done all kinds of things in my life, and now I don't know personally close to me thousands of people, but I have thousands mm-hmm. of at least acquaintance, as you, I'm sure, do too. We all do. And it's amazing to me that out of the clear blue, all of a sudden, I get a feeling that I know that's the Holy Spirit in my life guiding me to pray for a certain person that I may not have thought about in 5 years. And all of a sudden, I find out that they're in the hospital. Now, how does that happen?
Exactly.
You know, we owe it to ourselves to investigate these things. But back to the irresistible evangelism thing I was talking about. The one thing that we were encouraged to do through that is, talked about, and I picked up on it because I loved it, was when you're in a restaurant and you're getting served a meal, very kindly and without pressure, mention to your waitress that you're about to pray and give thanks for your meal. Is there anything you'd like me to pray about? Now, some people think, oh, that's so intrusive, or, you know, man, I'm surprised people don't let you have it. Well, first, I've been doing this now for 20 years. No one has ever let me have it. Some people said, no, that's okay. But it's amazing the percentage of people, and it's a very high percentage, of people would say, let me think about that a minute. Or, you know, you can. My grandpa just went in the hospital. Or a student will say, you know what, I've got finals tomorrow. Or something to that extent. And it opens that door of kindness. And I have built relationships over it. I had one lady that was a waitress in a restaurant that she was older. And when she'd see me come in, and I didn't come in on a scheduled time. I come in every week or two. When I come in, she'd have a whole list of prayer requests for me. And then her brother got ill, and she called Frank and I to come in and pray with her brother. And we prayed, and we told him about the Lord, and that he could have comfort and accepting Christ. And he showed unbelievable comfort. Mm-hmm. He really did after that. And, you know, that's building those relationships. And we have built so many relationships just through that simple act. Another one that you may see that came out of that whole program and what they did was going through line in a fast food place, and you'll get up there and someone will say, the people in front of you bought your meal. That's another one that's very common. But the point is, if we're going to reach out and tell people about the Lord and about Jesus, how about we act like Jesus when we do it? You see my point? Jesus constantly, he shared the word, but he shared his love, his grace. He shared a meal. He shared healing. He shared all those things that he did. And if we have that love in us, then we should be willing to move forward and show that. And like you said a few minutes ago, Scott, if someone's going to pray for you, if someone's going to surround you with that kind of love and lift you up and do those things and give you hope, and why would you say, no, I just want to stew in my sickness? You know, but let's take it a step further. Let's take it into the world. When we live in a world where there's so much insurity, there's so many things that we can't count on, there's so much negativity, there's so much pukey stuff out there. I'll put pornography in there. I think pornography is gross. I really do. It so demeans the people that are on the victim end of the camera. And it's just sick stuff. And there's sick stuff out there. When there's so much of that in there, why wouldn't you say, you know what? I do want to go to something that gives me hope and gives me life. And that's what I find in the church. We all know full well that in everything that we do and everywhere that we go, you're going to find people that are frauds. But when a fraud shows up in the church, it makes the national news. Mm-hmm. There are millions of active believing Christians in this country. But you let one do something sick, a camp counselor or a youth leader or a pastor, oh, they got to tell everybody about it.
You know why I think that? We're down to the last 4 minutes here, but you know why I think that is? Because, in general, I do believe that most people, if we're talking about media here, believe that people in the church are good people, that they're good, honest people, and they're not going to hurt anybody. Mm-hmm. You know, you may not agree with them on everything, but they're good, honest people. So when a good, honest person does something that you think is heinous, it's a juxtaposition other than, you know, Bob who lives on Elm Street.
Similar to when a school teacher...
Yes, yeah, absolutely. Yes, a child. Absolutely.
Yeah. And similar to that, I think you're right. Yeah. I think you're right. But what I'm saying in this, I'm not. It's not an attack on the media. What I'm saying on this is that, please, just because you hear of this and that and the other, doesn't mean as the whole that it's not true.
Oh, absolutely.
It doesn't mean as a whole that it's not going to be just exactly to fill that void in your life. Don't be afraid of the church. we have honest people in our church that love children, and we do these things. We have checks in place. No one is ever alone with a child in our church. We do background checks on people. We do all these things that are necessary because we want to protect the kids. And I think that any good church organization will also police its people. Mm-hmm. And when they find someone, they yank them away immediately.
Oh, absolutely.
Or they send them to the authorities, whatever needs to be.
I dislike that. What you're saying, that one bad bean spoils the whole stew.
And they need to go in and the
yes,
church needs to
yes,
police
yes, take
that.
Them out. Take
no
them
one
out.
Else. But, hey, it's good to be on here today. We got a minute left.
About 2 minutes. Two minutes.
Wonderful. Hey, it was great to be on here today. I look forward to this new format that's going to be done. I think it's great. You know, it's going to reach a lot of people that couldn't before. And what's really, really cool, the coolest thing to me is, something you were talking about yesterday, Scott, was that, you know, it's so hard sometimes to tune in a radio and get the station. Either it doesn't come in or you're out of range. But by doing it this way, all they got to do is pick up that Alexa. I'd like to listen to WGH Talk.
There it is.
And there it is. Yep. And, you know, it doesn't matter where you be in Florida, for crying out loud. And I think that's great, and I think it's going to reach a lot of people. I look forward to seeing a show that has more, that has a positive message. I love Linda's show. She's always saw it being
positive.
Love
Linda, yeah.
And just love that to death. And some of the fun shows, the trivia and whatnot, you know, is really, really enjoyable. And I think that it's a good thing.
Well, and I think the group we've got right now is a very positive group. Every show is professional here, and we are 24/7. So at 3 in the morning, if you're up and want to listen to something good, hey, Alexa, turn on WWGH, and you'll hear it.
Absolutely.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
And I would like to say that come visit us at 209 East Water Street in Prospect. More Community Christian Fellowship. God bless you guys and have a wonderful day.
This has been the Pastor Spot, a weekly radio fellowship of Community Christian Fellowship. Boy, I said that easy for me to say there, yeah. Get back into this. Every Friday morning from 9:10 a.m. till 10 a.m. and repeated Wednesday and Thursday from 3 to 4 p.m. Also, the Community Christian Fellowship Sunday Sermon. Now, Sunday nights at 7:10 p.m., repeated every Wednesday and Thursday, 4 to 5 p.m. And that's a wrap today. Pastor Steve will be back next Friday.
Take care, folks.
1 FM LP, Marion, Ohio.
I'm Charlie Everson. I'll be on 10 to 12 today. And welcome your phone calls. Today, I'm going to leave it up to all of you to ask questions.
Porky, Marvin there, he doesn't seem to like you very much.
It's all an act. It's not an act. It's a bigger act. I'm going to blow up your act. That's not my act. I really don't have an act.
Well, Porky, I can't sign off this program with you here. Before we close out, where did your famous saying come from and then give it to us?
Oh, it's how they asked me to end the cartoon. That's it. That's simple. And I just walked up to the mic and I said, that's all, folks.
Bob, you are a pleasure. You are a... But so much was made, and I don't know why. During the first Jim Tressel press conference, when all that hubbub was going on, you made the comment that somebody asked you if you were going to fire him, and you said he hoped he doesn't fire you. Do you wish you hadn't said that? It got so much play.
You know what I think, actually? I have a very quick wit. Sometimes it's smarter than my